Hello, everybody. Yes, I know we've been away. Some stuff happened to me, all right? Get over it. Meanwhile, in football land, a whole bunch of other stuff happened. All of it was quite weird and wonderful, and we'll now talk about it in no apparent order. All right, happy now. Sons of bitches.
And we're back, mate. Oh, so welcome back from your escapades, from
mate,
your
welcome back to a bad back on your behalf.
No, that's right. Yeah, I've got a really bad back at the moment. I don't know whether it's. I think it's pretty much what. Who was it? Was it Naby Keita after his Champions League exploits? It's a back spasm. And
did you have it by making a lung-busting run through midfield in a Champions League game, mate? Is that how you've acquired your back problem?
No, it's not. It's I got it by getting in the front seat of my car.
Oh, okay. Similar then. I see the parallel between you and Naby.
Ow. Stop it.
I think you could probably tweet Naby right now and go, "Oi, Nabs." Because I should imagine that's what he goes by. Or Nab.
Of course.
Like that. Yeah. And you'll be, "Oi, Nabs. I got the same injury as you, innit?" And Nabs will be like, "Phil, man, I feel you."
Naby, mate, what'd you do to recover it? Because quite frankly, it's just absolutely killing me.
He's like, I've got a world-class sports scientist. What have you got? You're like, ibuprofen.
Mate, ibuprofen and my 7-year-old daughter, who I asked if she could possibly walk on my back today to try and sort of iron it out. It feels like something's come out. And anyway, she did it, which was great, but it didn't fucking do anything. So I got a bad back. We're back. I've got a back. You've got a back. My bad back's bad. Your back seems to be okay. So that's all good.
How's Naby Keita? Is he okay?
Yeah, no, he's all right as well. I got off the phone with him this morning. He was a bit pissed off actually because it was about 4 a.m. But anyway, I keep forgetting the time difference. His back's fine. He came on in the second half for I think it was Milner, wasn't it, in the match. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. So, mate, it's been absolutely crazy. It's been a crazy 2 weeks. You've been to Barcelona, haven't you?
Mate, I went to Barça bloody Lona, home of Josep Guardiola, football, and really nice chocolate. And quite a bit of pickpocketing on Las Ramblas.
Mate, you've got to get out of that habit. You got to stop.
I have got to stop. What's the verb of pickpocketing?
Pickpocket.
I will pick your little pocket.
I pickpocketed yesterday. It was nice.
Before we get onto football, I know we've been away for weeks and we're now talking about backs and tourism, but sod it. My missus found 50 euros in a flea market and ran away with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Well, she bought a small bag for 2 euros and inside it found 58 euros, came over to me very, very excited about the fact that she found 58 euros and like was like, let's run. And and we did.
I thought you were going to give me a lesson in morality here, but I don't think
No. We kept the money and then decided to spend it on. And inevitably, being in Barcelona, spent it on tapas.
Food and booze. Let's go. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for a little window into what you guys actually got up to, including pickpocketing.
Oh, mate, I went to the Nou Camp, innit?
I saw the photos. Yeah. I thought it was. Yeah. How was that?
It's smaller. On the TV, it looks really, really big.
Okay.
But then when you get there, honestly, it's not all that big. The worst thing, mate, about arriving at the Nou Camp is you're welcomed by a giant picture of Luis fucking Suarez. Like, you've got all of the people that could welcome you to the world-famous home of Barcelona. I'm thinking Lionel Messi. He's quite famous. Or perhaps Shakira's husband, Gerard Piqué. also like a very eloquent and raised in the Barcelona system. You could go with Sergio Busquets again, come through the system, well known. But no, let's put documented racist diver and indeed
cannibal
Luis Suarez on the front gate.
It's really weird, isn't it? Because you'd expect Messi to be there. You'd expect...
features prominently, as does Piqué. But right. For some reason, on the front bloody door, it's Luis Suarez.
Welcome.
Mate, England played right. behind closed doors today, and we'll get onto that in a bit.
The
last time we saw a closed doors match is when... Barcelona had to play someone behind closed doors because of Catalunya, blah, 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 blah. And in that game, Luis Suarez revealed himself as one of those players that you used to play with who just mouths off at everybody. it's really quite funny. Anyway, mate, so then, after being welcomed to the new camp by a giant picture of Luis Suarez, you go inside and it's old.
Mm.
It's a pretty old stadium.
Okay.
It's not quite as big as it looks on the TV. There is a slope on the pitch, mate. Like I guess it's for the runoff and stuff, but the pitch isn't flat.
Oh.
Huh. I guess because like it rains and the rain has to come off, right? So, but like you're looking at it and going, there's a definite curve on that. The huge chairs that you see at modern football clubs, you know, like the ones that look like they're from, you know, space vehicles, not as big as you would have thought they would be.
Does that mean the people that sit in them are slighter than you think?
Yes, basically professional football managers are skinnier than me. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Skinnier than you too.
Okay, fine. Yeah, put that in there if you want. I was gonna do it. You do it.
And then you get to go up to the press boxes all the way up in the sky. Really quite horrible conditions that they give all them press men. In order to get up to the press thing, you have to go in this elevator that smells of wee.
Ooh.
Like, are the journos peeing in the
protest?
Elevator?
In the elevator, in protest.
I've never understood people who wee in it. I know you're trying to get onto the next thing, but I'm just going off.
No, not at all. I'm just gonna try and defend because you know me and wee, right?
So it is a favorite subject of yours.
So in Europe, all right, this is something that is really not, you know, it's not, mate. As soon as you land in France, for example, you go to Paris.
you find an elevator and you go for a whiz.
No. It's the smell. It's everywhere. It's just, and people say, oh, it's disgusting. And then other people go, no, not at all. This is the raw beauty of this beautiful country. And
urine.
Yeah, but it's just part of the toxins of the nation, you know. Get over it. You know? And it's like, for example, when you go into one of these buildings, right, all these buildings are 200, 300, 400 years old. And when you go into one of these buildings, you go downstairs, you open the front doors, and then usually, of course, these buildings are too old to even have a lift, or if they have a lift, they have one of those sort of Art Nouveau style 1920s lifts with 17 gates to get in and stuff and everything. Downstairs always smells of piss, and that is because people, you know, get drunk at night and sort of come out and they need somewhere to piss, so they open up the door, they go in,
isn't it a huge risk peeing in an elevator, because there's electronics in an elevator that control whether or not you're going to get from A to B. And it's not, like, I would have thought that, like, weeing in one, you are risking shorting all of that stuff out, no?
Maybe it's done in a dare, you know, someone dares you. I dare you to live. No, mate. You know what happened last time, mate? You know,
pee on the electronics. Go on.
Yeah, Barry got done. Go on, mate. I'll give you 20 bucks.
Oh, the elevator stopped and we're stuck here until 4 a.m.
Oh dear, mate. Look, it's I'm not really surprised. To be totally honest, although they do. Real Madrid are now going through a period of trying to renovate their ground and everything. Maybe Barcelona would be thinking of doing something similar as well.
They are. No. Actually, when you go there, And mate, you'll love the name that they've given this. So they're adding an extra, not that many, but they're adding an extra, I think, 15,000 seats. They're putting a roof on because there's only actually, like, because I never realized actually, because you only ever see the Nou Camp shot from the angle that it's shot from on the TV, right? But the stand where the cameras are is covered. There's a roof on it. But obviously the rest of the Nou Camp, we're all very familiar. It's out in the open. It's very comfortable kind of shapes. Anyway, they're building an extra 15,000 and then they're putting a roof over the whole thing. You know what they're calling it?
What?
Nou Camp Nou.
What?
Nou Camp Nou. It's not, so because obviously we call it the Nou Camp, right, in English, but in Spanish it's Camp Nou. And actually, I believe that's Catalan, like, because nouveau is Spanish, right?
Sorry.
But in Catalan, the word for new is new. So
new.
It's Camp Nou, but it's going to be called the Nou Camp Nou.
The Nou Camp Nou.
Which I think is brilliant because you and I call it the Nou Camp, right? Yep. But then football hipstery, coffee swiggling, mustachioed twats call it Camp Nou. But now we both get to be right because we both go, Nou Camp Nou.
Mate, where do you want to go? Let's go to the Nou Camp Nou. It's going to work. I'm interesting. And I guess, good. Good for them in many ways.
I wonder if they'll feed the press elevator. I wouldn't. Let the journo smell.
Let them keep smelling bad. All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you went over there. But mate, you didn't even watch a game, did you? I mean, there was no games on, was there? So, it's a bit of a shame. Were you able to tread out on the turf? Did they allow you to get out?
There was a thunderstorm in the morning, and so they were drying the turf. So they had this huge kind of skeletal heater that was slowly going from one end to the other in order to try and dry it out.
Sounds a bit archaic.
Well, no, it was all very futuristic. It was all very like space moony, hoppery, kind of heatery type thing. But then it started raining again. So it seemed a bit kind of like inconsequential and a bit of a waste of time and money. But
all right,
whatever. Like they stuck Luis Suarez on the front door. They don't really care.
They really don't, do they? I'd like to know who's calling the shots. It sounds
someone
great.
Someone with a similar sense of humour to me and you, because that's the kind of thing we do. Oi, mate, who should we stick on the mic? Suarez, go on.
We can't do that. Shut up, Barry. All right, this is what we're doing. All right. Why is Barry still on the board with us, mate? Fucking get him off. Bye. What an idiot.
Teeth out. Yeah, teeth out. Shirt off. Shirt off. Teeth out, shirt off. Yes.
I'm trying to kill our fun. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Beautiful. How to influence people. Let's put that one on the front. We've got so much to cover and there's this just so much to get through. So we'll start straight off. Steve Bruce and Leo Jardim. Jardim, by the way, means garden in Portuguese.
Mate, I never realized old Jardim was Portuguese. I thought he was French.
No, he's Jardim's. I guess you could call him Jardin, but no. He's Portuguese. Yeah, he's been there for about 4 years, and
guys get all over the place, didn't you? Where was he before?
At Sporting. He was at Sporting Lisbon. One of my very own. Yeah.
Did he leave because you accidentally threw a bag of piss at him once?
No, I think some of my mates went round the back and smashed the shit out of him and his players, though. I think that's what happened, basically. They all just went in there with clubs into their unguarded training ground and beat the living shit out of all of them. So
people might think that this is a fanciful story from Jason, but this is the actual kind of thing that happens at Portuguese football.
No, not Portuguese football, just Sporting Lisbon.
Okay,
right. The others are actually supposed to be quite... Actually, Sporting is supposed to be the most sophisticated of the three clubs. not saying that that's a marker. I'm just saying this is not usual.
With our bags of piss and the beating up of our own players, we are the most sophisticated club in Lisbon. I don't give a crap about your eagle.
Mate, I tell you what, Sporting fans have been trying to catch that eagle for a long time. They want to do things to that eagle. I tell you,
mate. Are Sporting fans allowed into Benfica's ground during the derby? Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah. They've got their little pocket, and it's the same as the other way around as well.
And are they trying to get that eagle every year?
every time the eagle goes over, the eagle's programmed to shit on whoever the supporters are coming out. Fucking shit on them. And we take slingshots. We take slingshots with us in our back pockets, you know, with little like rocks and stuff and bags of piss. And we try and hit the eagle as it comes round. Mate, one day we'll get that eagle. That fucking eagle keeps eluding us. I tell you. Ugh. So he's gone. Steve Bruce is obviously gone. And I was just trying to look up some stats before we started this. In the Premier League, nobody's lost their job yet, have they?
No. The interesting thing about Jardim going and Steve Bruce going is they've been replaced, as far as I can see it, with late 90s, early 2000s footballers, which is what you do now if you have a managerial opening. You appoint Steven Gerrard or Ryan Giggs or Frank Lampard or John Terry or Thierry Henry. Like, you know, I mean, Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville are on TV. I mean, who's left? Who's left of that? Well, Scholes has got to be next, isn't he? There's one. Michael Owen.
Beckham was always too stupid, wasn't he? I think
Beckham's too smart, mate.
You reckon?
Well, he's bought a club in Miami, hasn't he? He's had a look at it and he's gone, I might have a stupid high-pitched voice, but I think that there's more money in buying a club rather than managing it. I've got to do that. What do you think, Victoria? No. I think it's a good idea, David. Buy the club in Miami. I like Miami. Whoa! At home with the Beckhams there.
His kids are coming out. Oh my God, I can't believe my parents sound like that, man. It's just, you know, that was my American.
No, it's very good. I should imagine it was eerily accurate.
Oh dear, you do wonder how you know parents who have accents who are so different to where their kids grow up do grow up together. It's just like, how does that work? You know, who bows? You know, is it the kids who stand up for where they are, or is it is it the parents who kind of go, oh, guess we got to sound American now, you know, and then change? I don't know. Anyway, it's a completely pointless point. But you're very right, Jean Terry. If we do it with a French accent,
hey, there was a beautiful moment where John Terry and Thierry Henry were going to co-manage Aston Villa. What the fuck was that about?
Like, mate, it was Thierry Henry was going to take care of the attack. And Jean Terry was going to take care of the defense.
But Thierry was going to be the manager and John Terry was going to be the assistant. Do we think that Thierry would have said, it's not John Terry anymore, it's Jean Terry? Because I would have.
Yeah, no, man, you can't. No. No one call him John Terry. John Terry, mate, it's John Terry. Nah, no.
Oi, JT. No.
I will do something to you. Je te embrasse. I will embrace you. Je te. JT and TH, they were almost there because that's what they've got on their shirts, isn't it? And they come out, and on their jackets.
They would have been John Terry Henry. Like a collective.
But it would have been a team, wouldn't it? It would have been, you know, Henry and Terry. But they
played against each other. And I mean, I don't think they had any hatred, but like, I don't think they were really, you know, best buddy mates, were they?
No, they would have played directly against each other in many occasions.
Oh, there's no doubt that John Terry has kicked Thierry Henry.
Oh, swiped him or kind of, elbowed him. Or I'm sure grappled him, maybe even tried to give him a shave. I'm not sure, you know, but there would have been the moments, of course, where Thierry Henry pulled his pants down and made him look stupid as well. So I'm sure we'd be able to find quite a few moments. But maybe
I don't know. That Chelsea team used to beat Arsenal on the regular, didn't they?
That's very true, actually. They did, didn't they? I mean, there would have been a few occasions, whether or not they were actually played directly against each other that many times, because I think Henry was just a bit before Thierry.
They definitely would have.
But anyway, it hasn't happened. And John Terry is now assistant at Villa. And Thierry Henry is, well, it's not been confirmed yet, has it, that he's gone to Monaco, but he's...
It's odds on, isn't it?
It is very odds on, and it was odds on even before they fired Jardine, which was a very strange firing as well. Been there for 4 years, done really well.
Very well.
Everybody seems to have bridged away, amicably as well. Jardine is coming to the Premier League. The next opening of the Premier League.
I've heard that Manchester United might be in the lookout for a. For a slightly dour Portuguese, because their current one is going a little bit too dour, you know.
He's a little
fired up, isn't he, Jose?
Should we start with that? Should we start? I think
we're 20 minutes in. Yes, let's start with Jose.
Let's start with Jose, mate. Because we could have started from with a whole bunch of stuff in a whole sort of in whole different areas. But last weekend, Manchester United 3, Newcastle 2. Kennedy scoring after 7 minutes. Muto scoring after 10 minutes.
Where did John he come Joe, from?
Who Muto?
That Japanese fella up front.
Yeah,
was he? He was deadly. Scored a goal. He should have had another goal.
I know.
Like Kagawa. Where do you come from? I was watching the highlights because I was on a plane. I was watching the highlights and I'm like, who's that? Which is like they've got a ninja playing up front. Like, and he's good. Mate, have you gone?
No, have you gone? Hello?
No, I'm still here. Explain Hello? The Japanese fella playing up front for Newcastle.
I was. You were just breaking up a little bit there, and I just thought that you were breaking up through excitement at this new little fella Japanese, Bob's your uncle kind of person showing up. And quite frankly, I think that, it's been very exciting to see it and very exciting to see him. I did hear about him coming to the club, but I also heard that he wasn't fit to start, so that was the major sort of issue. So, but yeah, it's very good. I think very, very good, very happy, and I think it's very happy for this situation. He played very well. Kennedy scored a goal. I think even he must have been surprised at himself for scoring a goal, both from throw-ins. And, Manchester United looked all at sea, didn't they, in the first half of that match?
Well, Jurgen Klopp has a throw-in coach, doesn't he? Quite famously. Ah. So perhaps Jose needs to get himself one of them. Yeah, boom! Throws the ball! Yeah! Whoa! Ah. Sorry. My inner Jurgen releasing himself there.
Not surprised, but yeah, it's and finishing off with the match. The Manchester United of old, the one that we were so used to seeing with Fergie time and all that stuff and everything, finally coming in and doing something that we haven't seen from Manchester United in absolutely ages, of course, which is a comeback of quite sort of proportionate. Sort of figures type thing. Yeah, it was really quite amazing. Juan Mata's free kick straight away on the 70th minute was beautiful. Mate, Pogba's little touch for Martial to then nip in and score on 76 was also very beautiful. And there was an urgency about their game. And when they scored, when Sanchez scored on 90, I think the only thing that was remaining, I think, was for Sanchez to injure himself in his knee celebration. Because did you notice it was almost like there was not enough water on the pitch, and he seemed to skid across it, but he didn't skid it very well. He just sort of kind of, bounced, and then did a little roly-poly, tried to cover it.
I did see it. And mate, it's been revealed what the Pogba-Jose argument was about, because it was clearly about the fact that Jose wanted him to play at centre-half, which is what he did for the second half, no? Like, and Pogba was, what, me, play at centre half. He's like, yeah, everybody is shit. And then Pogba clearly was saying something along the lines of, you've got Jones and you've got Smalling and you've got all these other players. He's like, no, you're playing
Lingard.
Lingard. The crazy thing about the game is, like you've just mentioned, the three goal scorers for the comeback were Mata, who he already kicked out of Chelsea and kind of sidelines at Manchester United. Martial, who he's very blatantly tried to get rid of, was visibly upset the fact that Martial's partner had the audacity to have a child. And how dare she? And
thoughtlessness of it.
Sanchez, who's been just epically useless in a deep black hole where all the cash has gone into, were the three people who brought it back with Pogba pulling the strings.
Yep.
I mean, I thought all that was left was for Luke Shaw to score a hat trick, but like,
it really was unbelievable. And of course, then Mourinho decided after he finished the match, or at least as they were kind of walking off, he decided, and because our podcast is not the kind of podcast to bleep or take excerpts out,
Add a swear word in. We'll put it wasn't in there.
He said, "For this fils de pute," which basically means "fuck off, you son of a bitches" in Portuguese.
Where did he say this? To who? How?
As the final whistle went, he turned around and started walking down towards the tunnel because the tunnel is in the corner at Old Trafford. He has to walk all the way down there. And he looked into the camera and repeatedly said on a couple of occasions, "for this filho da puta," which is kind of like, it's not quite it, but it roughly translates to "fuck off, you sons of bitches." And of course, he's in saying it into the camera, he's basically saying it to you and me. And to the rest of the world.
Jose, have a go. Have a pop. Go on. Love it.
We're having a pop against you on every podcast, on every radio station, on every TV station in the world right now. So go for it, mate.
Jason has intimated on this podcast that he pees in the back of people's cars. This is a very urine-obsessed pod. So I think it's perfectly all right. Mate, I think he was telling you to go fuck yourself because you famously speak Portuguese. So I think it was just aimed at you.
But I was happy for him though. So there's some kind of misunderstanding here. I was just, man, mate, I'm happy for you. Mate. All right, fine, I will. I'm sorry. Yeah, for doubting you at any point in time. I never doubted him. Mate, the circus keeps on going, of course, because he then comes out. He's got an opportunity to maybe just try and breeze a bit of positivity into the world, but it's almost as if he doesn't think it's the right time just yet. Let's have a little bit more negativity because that's just what we freaking well need. We're going into the international break. We've just beaten one of the worst teams in the land.
But you've come back from 2-0 down on the day that you were supposed to be fired. I mean, that was what was written in the press. Although I've now heard things on other podcasts and on TV shows suggesting that the press believe that Jose planted that story himself.
I don't think I heard that as well. I'm not sure about that because it's come out through a very trustworthy, in the Mirror, hasn't it? And a very trustworthy journalist as well. Not the kind of journalist who would,
Jose's bidding.
Yeah. And even if it came through slightly indirectly to the journalist through other sources, I don't know. It just seems a little bit too much, I don't believe it. I don't really believe it. I think something was really about to happen, and it may still happen as well, because when we look at the run of games that Manchester United now have, they're in big trouble. Big trouble. I can't see them coming out of this.
But mate, the narrative has flipped. Liverpool and Manchester City are boring now, mate. They're dull. they're 0-0. I mean, they were so determined not to score that Mahrez has put a penalty a long way over the bar. I mean, a long way.
Let's get to that, mate. Let's get to that. Okay. Sort of to wrap up with the Manchester United thing. Of course, they've got some extremely tough games coming up. It's going to be very, very difficult to see how they're going to be able to get through them. But yes, let's move on to what was touted and touted by some as supposedly going to become or supposedly going to be the match of the season so far, but actually ended up turning into a bit of a was the expression a damp squib?
It was a damp squid as well.
Yep.
Well, last year they gave us a 5-0, a 4-3, a 3-0, and a 2-1. So that's
yep.
Yeah, that's a lot of goals. And then this year they've given us a 0-0.
Yeah,
and
you've had too much already, guys. I'm sorry. This is all. Yeah.
And after the brave new world that Jürgen and Maurizio Sarri were in the week before, this was supposed to be more of that. And did Pep shut up shop a little? Did he?
Yeah.
Like it felt like he did a little bit.
It really did, didn't it? It's and very unlike Pep, but
he's shut up to shop. No.
Can I come in? I still want to buy some sweets. No, shop.
No, I've closed my shop.
Close my shop. Sorry.
Guys, shut.
Yeah, he parked the bus, mate. He did a Marino. He parked the bus.
I don't think he parked the whole bus.
He didn't park the bus.
I think he parked it like over half the goal. But still, because Mo Salah, mate, Liverpool's front three.
Oh,
scoring.
Dear, oh dear. And now Salah has come back injured from Egypt as well. So
looking good for my $20, isn't I?
You really are. You totally got it, mate. You totally got it.
Mate,
I love
it's a strange thing to watch a football match and hope that one particular individual doesn't. It really is a strange thing.
It's a great call, mate. It's a great, great call. And I just doubted it. I just didn't. It's just so strange. I mean, how can somebody have such a big dip? But anyway, apparently it's factual as well. He actually started last season quite slowly as well. He has just about got a slightly less goal tally than what he had last season, and then everything took off around now. But he was playing with a lot of confidence at that time and just not scoring, wasn't he? But this time it seems like whenever he picks up the ball, he's not going to get past anyone. You know, it doesn't seem like he's got the confidence to get past anyone. Whereas last season he was getting past 2, 3, 4, 5 defenders sometimes in extremely tight situations. And it just seems like a shadow, absolute shadow.
Maybe he's just not that good.
And what, last season it was just every defender that came up against him was crap,
mate. Like Leicester City won the league. You can have a really great, amazing season. It can happen,
mate.
But
anomaly.
Let's not forget, before
anomaly,
that, he failed at Chelsea. He was good at Basel. He did all right at Roma. Like, I mean, I think he's a good player. He's a Champions League level player, but people were putting him on the Messi Ronaldo platform, right? They were saying, well, he scored as many goals as it. And that's a valid argument. I was fine with that argument. But I think long term, he's not in the top 20 players in the world for me.
Like, wow.
I'd say he's in the top 30, just not in the top 20.
But mate, he won the player of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he plays like that every year, oh yeah, mate, he's in the top 5. I just think that he had everything was coming together for him. He was playing really well. People hadn't figured him out so much. Also, Mane and Firmino were a little bit more supportive, and I don't know. They look a little kind of. Mane in particular is like, "Fuck this! Him scoring all the bloody. I'll be having some of that, thank you. I'm Sadio bloody Mane."
Well, it certainly seems to be a little bit of the case. It's very true. Mane has always had that slight selfishness about him when he was playing at Southampton.
He's a greedy bastard, Mane.
He is, yeah. He would much rather. I mean, there's been some moments, haven't there, where all he needs to do is square it to Firmino, and Firmino scored. So, but this one was, Mane has obviously taken it upon himself a little bit as well to maybe try and fight through it. I don't know whether maybe Klopp. I wonder whether Klopp sort of said to Mane, like, mate, just start to be a little bit more, selfish on this and take the pressure off Salah. I don't know. It's a very difficult one because Salah had this unbelievable season where he was scoring goals, like, at will, and scoring great goals at that. I mean, Jesus, he got voted for the goal of the season last year, which I think is a fucking joke. pardon my French, still. I think we mentioned that in the last podcast, didn't we, as well? Anyway, but he just did so well. Like, it was watching him glide past players. Yes, if we're going to be super critical, he had a lot of lucky breaks, probably, you know, where like he sort of cut inside and then it hit the other player and then it hit his shin and kept going and then it fell into his stride and he went for it. So, you know, okay, we could possibly do it, but you make your own luck in situations like that. So, maybe there's some truth to it, though. Maybe now he's just not getting those little breaks and just not hitting the target. Every time he has a shot at goal, doesn't look like he's going to score. So I have no confidence in him scoring at this moment in time. And maybe an injury to him coming back from Egypt, and maybe he'll take a couple of days off or something or whatever. Maybe that's for the best.
Mate, should we take a little break and then come back with other things that we missed? Should we do that?
Sounds very good. Let's do that. Let's take a little break. We'll be back shortly.
It is Return of the Back, come on. Return of the Back, oh my God. You know that I'll be back, here I am. Return of the Back, once again. Return of the Back, pump up the world. Return of the Back, watch my flow. You know that I'll be back, here I go all the way to part two.
Welcome back, part two of our podcast, the podcast that we have not been able to do for a little while, but we are now here.
Stop
now
telling people that.
What? It pissed me off, quite frankly. It's, you know, I was so much to talk about.
I'm sorry.
You're out of the blue as well. You and your fucking planes. All right. okay. Wait. Neil Warnock, let's just go straight to it. We'll start with the rest of the Premier League. Obviously, was absolutely fantastic last weekend, and we'll go through some of the matches and everything. But let's start with Tottenham 1, Cardiff 0. Eric Dier got the only goal after 8 minutes, and then Tottenham held on a little bit, didn't they?
Game was rubbish. Again, I was on a plane. I got off the plane at halftime. I only watched the highlights. Game was rubbish. The most entertainment came in the form of Mr. Neil Warnock's comments après le game, le match, when sophisticated man of mystery Neil Warnock apparently there's been a rule change at FIFA, because have you got Neil's exact quote there for me, mate? If you could, in your best Neil Warnock accent.
Yes. Because it is, he's a Yorkshire lad, isn't he? So
it's Yorkshire. So I'll just tee it up for you. Yeah. Tottenham won 1-0. Eric Dier scored the only goal. A fella by the name of Rawls, who plays in Cardiff's midfield, did in the second half unleash a tackle. I mean, tackle's a little bit unfair, because tackle would suggest he was attempting to get the ball. Mr. Rawls did try to hurt Brazilian forward Lucas Moura, and he did fail in hurting him. Yep. He did also fail in getting the ball, but he did succeed in getting himself a red card, much to Mr. Warnock's ire. And Mr. Warnock said, what did he say, mate?
Of Mike Dean, this is what Warnock said. I think Mike, when he sees it, he'll be a bit disappointed, really. A third of the refs would probably give it. Two-thirds would probably give a yellow at that stage with half an hour to go on the halfway line. It wasn't a dangerous tackle. He hasn't endangered the life of a player, so I don't know why it's a red card.
Mate, I love how you went Scottish.
You started. I don't know why it's a red card. It shouldn't be a red card. We know that.
You've just gone north. Your accent has gone north from your own accent, which is very Southampton-based. You went up into Yorkshire and then all the way up into Scotland. And then you can't go further north, so you've stayed there.
Yes, I couldn't really. I'd like to. I could have gone Viking, I guess.
No. North of Scotland is just nothing. So mate, I think the important part in that quote that I wanted to touch upon is he hasn't endangered the life of the player. I was not aware that in order to receive a red card, you had to endanger his life.
This is, as you mentioned, this is a new rule by the FA, which has come in.
It's I suspect it's Michel Platini or even Gianni Infantino himself. As I look at those rules, and you know, Gianni Infantino sounds like, you know, the name that you give the devil's assistant or something. I suspect
Blatter's there as well next to it.
Yeah, I suspect they've got a little brains trust with Sepp, Gianni,
and Michel,
Putin, Kim Jong Un, and they've all gone, you know what? You know what? This is no fun. Red cards are only for those who endanger lives now.
Otherwise, or it's going to be like the new FIFA game when they've got a new FIFA game with no red cards, no fouls.
That's fouls. Yeah, right. No fouls. Warnock, literally gone. All right. No fouls.
Let's go. Guys, let's go. No fouls. But no one told Mike.
Potch is going, really?
No? Really? No fouls?
Yeah. I don't think so.
No. On the 70th minute, I am allowed to extract a clause in the new rules drawn out by Gianni.
I've pushed the no fouls button. I've got
that's it.
I've reset the rules. It's now no fouls.
Mike, you can't give it. What are you doing? He didn't endanger the life of a player. That's the only time he can get a red. With he pulls out a knife, right? And he's got it. He's got it held by his throat. You know, he's endangering the life of a player. Then you can give him a red card. That's fine. But sorry, no.
One of my favourite Neil Razor Ruddock stories involves Neil Razor Ruddock shouting at Justin Edinburgh whilst at Tottenham. Shouting at Justin Edinburgh when a player went past him to fucking end him. So this is what Razor was talking about.
Like, it is, absolutely. And Cardiff, it's amazing because they actually appealed against the red card.
Really? It's a horrible tackle.
They appealed and it got rejected, obviously. Completely got rejected.
Moore's life might have just about been okay, but his legs were in real danger, mate.
What I love is there's one shot, and it seems like it's almost like an airplane shot or something. It's taken from above but behind. So as Moura goes round him, you see Rawls, because at the time you're like, when you see it in real time, it's not quite, you can't quite see whether it's working or not. How is the foul done? But when you see it in replay from above, you can see Rawls. He's gonna be done for pace. He looks over his shoulder. He sees Moura come. Like, the ball is gone. He's like, I gotta end him in true Razor Ruddock way. There is no way I'm gonna be able to allow him to go past. You know, and Eric Dyer's come out afterwards on the press and said, there's ways to foul him. that's not a good way. You could have clipped his heels, you could have dragged his shirt back or whatever. Mate, the guy went full pelt straight into his legs. Took him out.
Full Ryan Shawcross and Aaron Ramsey that one time. It's like,
he's gone for it. It's amazing. I remember growing up playing football matches and being done by people like that and thinking, this kind of thing, if you did that to someone on the street, you'd go to jail, wouldn't you? I mean, it's like, it's assault.
Actual
you
know? Bodily harm.
It's, yeah, it is. And you would go to jail. But because you're on a
actual
pitch,
life
you're
endangerment,
okay.
Mate.
No, exactly.
Moura was always very likely to live. And I believe he still is alive. And therefore, what Neil Ruddock's saying is completely correct.
Yeah, Neil Warnock is still annoyed, still very annoyed. And of course, at that very moment in time as well, Warnock did turn around, because you see Harry Kane's reaction. He goes straight up to him. And I almost half thought, because he gets booked for it as well, and rightly so. You can't have a reaction the way that Kane has had it there. If anything, Kane should run up to him, stand in front of him and stop some of his teammates from. And I thought that's what he was going to
understand. Kane's reaction, though, that's a teammate, that's someone he trains with, and you know,
sure.
This year, and like, you want to, you're going to be upset when someone endangers the legs, not the life, endangers the legs of your teammate. Like, you know, could put him out for quite a while. I can understand Harry's reaction. You're right, it's a deserved yellow card. He does have to try and contain himself, but you can understand it. I can't understand life endangerment being an argument for giving a red card.
Well, and Warnock adds to that by calling Harry Kane a twat afterwards as well, and said, "Fucking well done." I know, God, it's just the kind of person that you'd want to invite over for Christmas dinner, isn't it? You know, just get him over around the table. Who's coming round for Christmas dinner this year? Got Neil Warnock. Oh, great. All right, you fucking twat. Make sure you get me some food. Yep, beautiful. Absolutely. Oh, mate, I absolutely loved it. I thought he was fantastic, and I thought he did a great job. They all did a very great job. So, well done to you. Warnock, thank you. We shall move on to something else. But before we do, we'll take a little bit of a short break, I think. And this is something else you wanted to add to that on top of
that.
Let's wrap up the Premier League very quickly. And let's wrap up the internationals very quickly as well after this break.
Got a license to kill. And you know I'm going straight for your heart. Got a license to kill. Got a license to kill. Anyone who tries to tear us apart. Got a license to kill. License to kill, ooh. If it's not life-threatening, it's not part three.
Welcome back, ladies and jelly spoons. We're going to wrap up very quickly with the Premier League. I know that you said you wanted to talk about something else just then, but we're not. We didn't really finish anything about the Premier League. We'll go over them very quickly.
What else is there to talk about?
Mate, I'm afraid there's Arsenal 5, Fulham 1 to talk
God,
about.
No.
Yes, no. There is. And yes, there is. Mate,
okay, we've done season. It. Let's move on.
Go. Goal of the season for Aaron Ramsey, mate. Emery's got them ticking 9 games in a row.
Congratulations to them. I'm very happy.
Mate, they're in fourth. Where are Tottenham? You know what's going fourth. On?
We've got the same amount of points as them. Move on.
All right. Okay.
Should we talk about how Southampton lost to Chelsea?
Yes. Let's do that because it was on my fucking birthday as well. So, like on my birthday, you know, Southampton decided to give me a birthday present, and I thought it was a very nice birthday present, really, quite frankly. And thank you very much for that. My reward for that was by Southampton being bent over a park bench and rogered repeatedly by Chelsea. Thank you.
3-0.
Chelsea. Yes.
Even Barkley scored. 3-0. Even Barkley
scored. Wait, did he play last night? Oh, I don't know. I don't care. All right. 3-0. Yes, they got smashed at home. And it was just Southampton are going down. I've been saying it all season. I'm saying it again. We're going down, definitely. Apart from that, we had Bournemouth did very well. They smashed Watford 4-0. Another funny red card to talk about, which was for Cabasele, who decided first of all to elbow. Was it Arthur Boric in goal for Bournemouth, or I can't remember?
No,
anyway.
It's what's his face? He used to play for Chelsea, yeah. Big Bosnian.
Oh, Bozovic. No, Asmir. Begovic, yep. Decided to elbow him first, and then afterwards decided to bring down one of the Bournemouth players and got himself sent off and was very surprised at that whole kind of, me? What you mean? And then Bournemouth proceeded to put 4 past Watford. So well done, Bournemouth. Everton 2, Leicester 1, Wolves 1, Crystal Palace 1, Burnley 1, Huddersfield 1. And that is it for the Premier League last season.
Yeah, no, it's not what we all want to talk about, which is the fact that Usain Bolt is playing football.
Usain Bolt, lightning strikes twice. Bring it on. He's scored. Mate, he scored. But let me just tell you straight away that he's not scored. It's not a... I don't believe this was a competitive match because the A-League hasn't started yet. So I'm not sure.
He was wearing a shirt. He had his name on it. Ross McCormack was playing with him. Mate, it's professional football. I think he got a match fee. Did he get a match fee? I bet he
probably did. Yeah,
he's playing, mate. It just tells you the desperation of Australian soccer.
I hate to say it though, it was a friendly. So
mate, against a team that I was looking at it now, trying to find this team he played against in this friendly. They don't even have a Wikipedia page. That's how bad this team you're playing against are.
Mate, he's made it. He's in the team. He did his little celebration, his lightning celebration and all that.
Mate, the first goal is quite a nice
goal.
Didn't
he?
Mate,
yeah.
He's quite quick.
He's been practicing, I think.
Terrible joke on my behalf, but I just think
He's been practicing. Yeah, and I think he's yeah, he's been, he has but and very well done for you scoring for the Central Coast Mariners, mate. That, that this team is like, it's, it is in the A-League, the A-League, the top league. You'd imagine the A-League to be the top league.
The A stands for Australian.
Australian League. It doesn't stand for the Asian Spade. Awesome. Amazing.
Or like A as in A comes before B. It's not like that. It's, it's A for Australia.
A for Australia. Australia, as they say. We don't even say Australia here.
So
in
it should be the S League.
The S League, yeah, Australia. Yeah, he did. He scored two. The second one was a mix-up, dare I say it.
A lot of mixing was being had. Not much up.
Goalkeeper came out. Obviously, there was no communication, because if there had been, or there could have been communication, but they were just stupid. And the guy decided to chest it down for Usain Bolt to score. It was very nice of him. It was like a bit of a gift, really, more than anything else. But we'll see next year. I doubt very, very much that he'll be up against the likes of Melbourne City FC or any of the other bigger clubs. But mate, the Central Coast Mariners are based in a place called Gosford, and which is, so it's like an hour north of Sydney. It's not even anywhere. So it's like it's not even Sydney. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway, he did. He scored two. He's in the big leagues now, and going
mate,
for
who
gold.
Who are some other sports stars from other sports who could come and play football? Who we think would be a bit useful?
Mate, I'd like Conor McGregor to come in.
Midfield enforcer Conor McGregor. Or, mate, let's face it, that big Russian lad. I think actually that big Russian lad who got a bit physical, I think isn't that probably Zuber's brother? Like,
You mean the guy who beat McGregor, do you think?
Yeah. The guy who's been wrestling bears since he was eight. Have you seen this? He literally wrestled bears as a child.
Beautiful. Love it.
Amazing.
It was amazing. This is a footballing podcast, however. We don't go into other sports too much, although it is nice to sort of point out that that I think Conor McGregor got exactly what he deserved. So very good. All right. Let me just come back to you in just two shakes of a lamb's tail, if you don't mind. Hang on 1 second.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Till touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, I'm a Rocket Man. Rocket Man, running really fast in Australia, and here's part 5.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you very much for staying with us. We are going to conclude today's full podcast with a very quick roundup of the internationals.
The League of Nations!
The Nations League. Yes, please.
Did you say it's the Nations League?
UEFA Nations League, yes.
You want me to sing the whole thing or just...
Yes, please. I think so.
Okay. The UEFA Nations League. Da, 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 da.
There we go. They always have very high-pitched sopranos singing that as well, don't they?
Mate, so, it's all because of Pavarotti in 1990, isn't it?
Oh, well, there you go. The love for football. And it never turned back. But he's dead now.
Is he?
Anyway, yeah, Pavarotti. Yeah,
Pavarotti's
died.
Dead?
Yeah, fatness, I think. Cancer, I'm not sure. One or the other. I'll be going for one of those as well. So,
world famous tenor Luciano Pavarotti has died today. Doctors attribute this to fatness.
I think it was. He could hardly walk, so I'm sure he could hardly breathe as well. I think that's how it was. He suffocated because he was just too fat.
Stop body shaming the dead.
Sorry. He can't even defend himself. You're right. It's not fair. Mate, it's I'm probably going to go down the same sort of route. This is very classic. When you turn around and say, so it's karma, isn't it? That's what it is. It's karma. So it's going to come around and bite me on the ass. But anyway, we'll round up the this week's internationals, and we'll look forward to the next ones. Mate, we'll start with a match in Croatia, which was Croatia versus England for Group Germany. And it was, I don't even know.
A4, isn't it?
A4.
Which is also my favorite paper size.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, yeah. A4, that's right. And I'm going to just realize.
I do like B3. B3 is a lovely size.
B3. A2 is not too bad either. I like it. I'll go for an
A2. With you, A2. It's fucking tiny. And they're massive, isn't it?
Yeah. So all the A's. A5 all the A's is have got. They've all got three.
Talking about paper stuff.
They've all got three teams in each one. I've only just realised. But it looks to me like what's going to happen is because once they win their groups, they go into a semi-final and then the final. Right? That's mm-hmm. how it works. If I'm not much mistaken, and it's very much looking like France, Belgium, Portugal, and Spain. I quite like that. I like that.
You quite like that because it's Portugal. It literally could be Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Afghanistan. Oh, and Portugal. And you know what, mate? I think that's a stellar lineup. I think it's wonderful. Why would that be, Jason? Oh, yes, because now Portugal are internationally relevant again. Unlike in the World Cup, where England were the World Cup semi-finalists, and now we're in a fucking relegation battle. How the bloody hell did that happen?
And you know what I like about this as well is that in the B category, the groups of the Bs, we've got
relegated down to where fucking Scotland and Wales are.
Yes, that's right. So there's every possibility that we might be in a group next year or next whatever, whenever the next sort of Nations League sort of thing starts. And you could be in a group with Wales and conceivably the Wales and Scotland, I believe, if Scotland decide to turn up and decide to start beating.
I think Scotland are going down to C, aren't they?
No. So, Scotland are already in C, but they could come up to B.
Well, they ain't coming up because I think they're going down to D. Didn't they lose away in Israel?
They did, but they won their first one against Albania, so they're top of the league.
Nowhere.
They're top on the table. They're top of the table. They're top of the table.
Bloody B, Scott. You can't lose away to Israel and expect anything to happen.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The groups are all like that, basically. So basically, A and B, they're all just three teams. So you're trying to stay up, obviously, so that you can compete for the nations. The nations.
Relegation six-pointer.
Or the relegation six-pointer. But so the people that are likely to go down now here, by the looks of it, things are the Netherlands, Iceland.
Who has editorial control over this?
And I believe it's me. And yeah, Iceland and one of England and Croatia. So it should be interesting.
Well, mate, it really should have been Croatia because they got spanked by Spain 6-1. And then we could have scored four. Eric Dier's hit the post. Harry Kane's hit the post, and then Marcus Rashford has finished like, God, mate, it was bad.
Yeah, it was pretty appalling.
We did a sketch at the beginning of the second season of this podcast about Jose Mourinho was deliberately undermining the confidence of key players so Portugal could have a run at the World Cup in 2022. And I think with Marcus Rashford, he has gone some way to achieving that because that finishing was rubbish.
It is. It's been spoken about a lot with his celebrations for Manchester United. When he scores, he never seems to be celebrating the goals very much. And, and he's never been prolific. So you'd imagine him to celebrate well when he scores.
When he turned up, he was a really good finisher. Like, you remember, like, Louis van Gaal had no choice but to pick him. And then he turns up and he scores, six goals in his first three games. And the one thing he was doing was finishing with a plum. And the one thing he's now not doing for England is finishing with aplomb. Oh, God, it was bad.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty appalling. And it was pretty classic of an England performance as per usual.
How have we gone from World Cup semi-bloody finalists 20 minutes away from getting to the ruddy final to a relegation six-pointer in an empty stadium playing against a team that's been a bunch of perjurers who are forced to play in an empty stadium because there was a swastika carved onto their pitch. Mate, how have we descended so far in such a short space of time. What did I do?
Wait, you know what? I think Croatia
and Portugal are somehow in the semi-bloody finals of the damn thing. How does that work?
We're still European champions, mate. All right, don't forget that. We're still European champions. Come on. it's all gone downhill again, hasn't it, for England?
But how has it gone downhill so quickly?
It's on an accelerator program. I feel a little bit sad for England, but not really that much. To be totally honest, I think Croatia have done a number on them because Croatia are playing shit at the moment. They really are. It's almost as if they've got this hangover from the World Cup that they've missed the opportunity that they have had for, to be able to win a World Cup. And they're never going to get this opportunity ever again because Modric is far too old. And
going to jail.
No, he's been acquitted.
No, it's been put on temporary hold. I read.
No, like, I thought. I heard he was let off.
There is no justice in the world. Carry on.
No, absolutely. There's no justice. You should know that. he is. He's from what I've heard. He's been let off. But all right. Sorry, I may be wrong. But that's what I heard. And it doesn't really matter anyway because he's 33 years old and he's not got many more sort of miles left on the clock. They've done a number on him though. They've put this game on into a stadium, which is out in the sticks, right? It's miles away. It's apparently like miles away from the third biggest city in Croatia. It's behind closed doors, fair enough. But it almost seems like they've done their very best to minimize how bad this is for Croatia. Obviously, you're at home. You should be playing with your crowd behind you. And it's kind of unfair for England a little bit, isn't it? You must feel a little bit bad because it is unfair.
I feel bad because Marcus Rashford couldn't finish his dinner.
That's why I
feel bad. You can try your political name gamey thingy people play over their crap, but I'm upset because Marcus Rashford can't finish, and you're not going to get me out of that opinion. I thought Jadon Sancho looks quite tasty when he came on.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. I woke up this morning. I think the match started at 4 or 5 or whatever. I woke up this morning and there was four minutes to go, I think. And I switched it on. And the first thing I heard was I saw Henderson being sort of pushed off the ball a little bit pushing one of the Croatian defenders off the ball, Vida or something. And it seemed like a foul. You know, Henderson fouled Vida. Definitely it was a foul. And the ref blew for a foul. And Henderson was so angry, he screamed into the night air, because you could hear it so vividly, and turned round to the ref and called and said, "You're a fucking cheat."
Well, bearing in mind that a red card now has to be life endangerment, a foul's got to be pretty much more physical than you previously thought. So I should imagine Endo is dead on in his assessment of it, and you're in the wrong.
What? Hang on.
Mate, remember red cards include life endangering activity.
Mate, I'm saying he should
We're talking pointing guns at people's heads, kniving them,
chopping their heads off, doing whatever it is
bashing their face in,
not actually finishing them, as Razor Ruddock so famously once said, but endangering their lives. So hanging them over a cliff, for example, that's a red card. All right.
Not many cliffs on football pitches, to be fair.
There aren't. No, it's very, very true. Possibly taking the corner flag out of the corner flag hole and threatening someone with it. Okay, that's life.
Mate, are we sure that the thing that the corner flag goes in is called the corner flag hole?
Stop it now. Go on. I will say that for now it is. Yes. I don't know. Ask Usain Bolt. Maybe he knows. I just thought that he would get a red card for saying what he said to the ref, though. I mean, maybe the ref
is the ref's life endangered? Come on, mate. It's words.
It's words you can't use. He's the England captain, for God's sake.
No, you can say whatever you want, mate. You're not endangering anyone's life with your words, mate. They're just words. They just come out of your mouth. They're in the ether. Like, the new standard for a red, mate, is, you know, someone might die.
Warnock, I fucking love you. Well done, Warnock. He's really opened up the gates, I think, for a new... No. Was that... Nah, wasn't life endangering, mate. Wasn't
life. We're all safe. We're all safe. No one's in danger of dying.
Mate, I think we can... So, Cabasele's red card. No. Here we go. Wes Brown. Was it Wes Brown? No, not Wes Brown. Sorry. Morgan. Wes Morgan. Sorry. Wes Morgan. Wes Brown's dead, isn't he? I don't know. Wes Morgan's red card on the weekend for Leicester. Not life endangering. Was it? It wasn't. I mean, it was repetitive.
I just have this horrible image now of one player scything another player down and, like, knocking him out and dying. And then the ref just standing over and going, that's probably a red.
I think it's a red, mate. Yeah, Warnock's on the side going, oh, fuck, I set this rule, didn't I? It's just one of the Cardiff players. You're off.
There's Ben Chilwell's, like, sad, dead prostate body lying on the floor with whoever it is who's fouled him, Marko Arnautovic probably, in tears. And then the ref goes, red card.
Mate, oh, mate, I'd love it. I would absolutely love it.
That
would
be you'd love it if Ben Chilwell died. Mate, that's horrible.
No, I don't advocate death at all. Definitely not. Mate, it's a beaut. It's a fantastic one. We could keep going once again until my favourite cows come home, because I do know that these cows are lingering around the place. I just haven't seen them for a while. But we won't go onto that anymore. Mate, we'll go on to another match in the UEFA Nations League, Group A 3, Poland 2, Portugal 3. And what was interesting about this match, not the fact that, you know, Portugal just dominated it completely and deserved to win. Of course, that's kind of boring now. But what was interesting about this match was that Portugal lined up, first of all, without Ronaldo, who we'll talk about in just a moment. But they lined up with three football players in the front three line, all of which, and we've mentioned these on podcasts here earlier beforehand. I can't remember which episode. But every single one of the front three for Portugal, their surname are called Silva. Yes, or as the direct translation from English into from Portuguese into English, Silverge, actually,
mate,
plural, means bush.
Do you use that word to describe the female anatomy? Do you say she's got a lovely Silva? Mate, you've gone.
Oh. In the.
I lost you there for a while. My question was,
yep.
Do the Portuguese refer to the female genitalia using the word Silva?
Uma Silva Linda? I don't think so. I'm afraid not. I don't know. Maybe in the newest of generations coming up, you know, and I'm missing out on it. Possibly, but especially seeing that we've got three of them up front. But if we do, no, it really just means bush or sort of forest, like a woodland kind of thing. But it's just kind of like a bush, silver.
I still think you're talking about vaginas. Okay. Anyway.
So we had three vaginas
Bernie,
up front.
We've got Bernie Bush.
Yeah.
We've got Rui. Andre
Bush.
Andy. Let's fucking Andre, don't you go all fucking European on me. Andy. We've got Bernie Bush, Andy Bush, and Rafi Bush up front.
Hello?
Mate, you're still there. I'm talking about all your bushes.
Mate, sorry, keep going. Keep going with the bushes.
Mate, and then two bushes scored?
Yes.
Which bush has scored? Did Bernie Bush score?
Yes, Bernie Bush scored and Andy Bush scored. Yeah, Bernie and Andy, A and B.
Only Rafi Bush didn't get a goal.
Bush A and Bush B scored. A dot Bush, B dot Bush. Both Bushes. Yeah. No, yeah, Raffi Bush didn't, and so subsequently was substituted for Danilo in the 85th minute.
Danilo Silva or just Danilo?
No, Danilo Pereira, who is another, not the Brazilian Danilo. Mate, we do this on purpose to confuse everyone, I'm sure. We come out with all these names which are exactly the same. People think, is it that guy? It's not that guy. It might be someone else. But mate, I don't know if you saw the goals and saw the highlights or
Hang
whatever.
On, mate. There's some, no, I don't care about the match. There's some silvers what? Missing. There's, hang on. Andy yep. Silva, who is who? There's Andre Silva.
Andres Silva, yeah.
But there's also Adrian Silva.
Adrian Silva? Yeah, Andre Silva is the guy who went out on loan to AC Milan. Went out to AC Milan, but then couldn't really play and now is at Seville. So
and who's the Silva who plays for Leicester?
Ah, yes, Adrian Silva. Yes, you're right, Adrian. But he's
so there's an so Andy Silva, an AD Silva, a Bernie Silva, a Rafi Silva, and then there's Mark Silva.
Marco Silva. Yes, absolutely. We've got a lot of Silvers everywhere.
So you're telling me that you could have had five Bushes involved and you've only had three. Poor.
Mate, it is pretty bad actually because Adrian Silva is actually. An international player. He is, and I'm very, actually, I haven't really looked into what has happened with Adrian Silva. We all know what happened when he went to Leicester. He basically arrived 5 minutes after the deadline or something and couldn't play for the first 3 months.
14 seconds.
Was it 14 seconds? What? Just ridiculous, isn't it? But anyway, rules are rules, I guess. But still, it's just very annoying. But of course, then afterwards, he struggled for fitness and struggled to get back into it. And I think he had an injury or two. And he has sort of started to come back into it, but he just hasn't found that fire that he had when he was out in...
Mate, you can't set a bush on fire.
You could do, but you just don't know what the after effects are. Anyway, let's not digress onto that one too much. But mate, Lewandowski was playing for Poland, and we shook our bush in his face and went straight. Check out some of this. It was just beautiful.
Bernie, bush.
That's what they did when they left the match at the end. They shook hands around and went. Eat bush. All right. other than that, there was a number of other games, which I don't think we're really bothered in covering. Although the Israel 2 Scotland 1 is quite a funny one, I think. Mate, I just want to ask one very quick and serious question as well. Mm. Are Scotland in the worst situation, footballing wise? Obviously, not because. They've got Hastings and everything. Are they in the worst situation that they have ever been in terms of football?
Probably. I don't really care.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. All the silvers playing is far more interesting.
Far more.
All right. Now, Pancho Sancho obviously looked very good for England as well versus Crystal Palace versus Croatia. Sorry, not Crystal Palace. And I thought to me that was the only plus, by the way, because I didn't really say anything nice about England, so I'm sorry about that. But I thought it was pretty much the only plus that was in there. All right. I
like that you've thrown that in at the end. I think we should leave before you say something insulting.
Well, I don't know whether or not you want to talk a little bit about Cristiano Ronaldo before we leave. We did sort of leave on a sour note. It's never very good to do so. But we did mention it in the last podcast. And, of course, it's starting to pick up steam. And I was thinking about it this morning. And, you know, I don't think he should even be playing at the moment. I think it's quite – I think he shouldn't be allowed to play whilst something like this happens. I don't know.
I don't. There is the legal investigation is opening. I don't think really that's kind of our decision to make. I like that newspapers are beginning to cover it properly. Mm. The magazine in Germany that broke it deserve credit for doing it. Juventus deserve every ounce of criticism anyone can muster for the statement they put out that because Ronaldo trains hard, he should be forgiven.
Well, that's Absolutely stupid. God, I think,
somebody is employed by that club as a press officer and has gone, nah, can't say anything wrong with that. Yeah, let's put that out.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but it's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I think it is absolutely ridiculous. They should have just shut up, you know. Or look, they could come out in support of in support of him and justice at the same time. There's ways to do it that you can come out and say, look, you know, you can
say we fully support the legal process. Christian has said to us that he is innocent, and until such time that he is proven otherwise, we believe our player.
Yeah,
that's fine. Why they needed to throw the stuff in is like.
No, it's just
that other crap that they threw in there.
We support him during this difficult time, you know, and we also support whatever sort of judicial sort of system or justice that would be coming through. Because to me, like, when the way I see it is that this is fucking horrible for everyone. It's horrible for everyone who's involved. Like, it's not a nice situation for anybody to be in. And of course the two main protagonists in this situation are the ones who are suffering most, but then everyone else who's around them as well is also suffering. So I think Juventus came out and said it twice as well, didn't they? I think they said it once and said it again, that, you know, they fully support. I don't know whether it was mistranslated or whatever, but I'm totally with you on that. I 100% agree. Now, I don't know how long this case goes on, so I guess you let him continue to play. But I mean, if it was something that they could solve within the next month, for example, or something, then I would be saying, you know, Ronaldo, you can't play, because it's something that you.
Well, yeah, if he has to go to trial in Nevada where it happened, then yeah, he can't play, can he?
Well, certainly not for that. It doesn't take long to get there, but like, you know, it depends on how long he's going to sort of stay there and everything as well. It's really going to turn into a you versus your word versus my word. Kind of case, right? And I think there have been numerous cases like this before, and I would hate to be the judge in a situation like this, regardless of who it is, whether it's Ronaldo or whether it's anybody else. It's a horrible situation to be. I don't know how they would sort of, you know, go about it. But obviously I do hope that the fair result comes out regardless of which direction it goes in.
Me too, mate.
All right. On that horrible note, let's leave it at that. It was a pleasure coming back and working.
Let's do this again.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it for a giggle. We'll see you at the beginning of next week, possibly, or sometime halfway through next week, and then maybe even start to get a little bit sort of prepared for the Premier League, which is really why we're here. We don't care about these bloody internationals anyway. So this is annoying.
No, agreed. No. Portugal in the semi-finals of anything is annoying. Bye bye, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.